the desire to receive pleasure. Since the Creator always remains in the state of absolute rest, we, as His creations, also strive to attain the state of rest, to reach that which is desired. The Creator has instated two forces for the sake of our development. The force that pushes us from behind, that is, the suffering that forces us to escape from the unbearable state we're in, and the force of attraction, which draws us by the pleasures anticipated ahead. But only the combination of these two forces together, rather than each one of these forces separately, is able to advance us forward. Therefore, under no circumstances should a person complain that the Creator has endowed him with laziness, thus implying that it's the fault of the Creator that it is so difficult for him to start advancing. On the contrary, the fact that the person is lazy means that he does not impulsively and thoughtlessly follow every little temptation in life, but instead evaluates if the object of temptation is worth the effort needed to follow it. And he doesn't attempt to escape suffering immediately. First, the individual attempts to assess the purpose for which the sufferings were received. He learns how to avoid them in the future because the suffering coerces a person into action and motion which he's trying to resist. In all situations in life, a person would prefer to utilize his entire egoism. However, the surrounding people prevent him from acting in this manner. All the rules of social conduct are built on the tacit agreement among people to use egoism in a manner that others suffer minimal damage. This arrangement results from the fact that we expect to receive maximum benefit from any social contact that we engage in. For instance, the seller would prefer to receive money without parting with the object of sale. On the other hand, the buyer would like to receive the goods for free. An employer dreams of free laborers, whereas laborers want to get paid without working. Our desires can be measured only by the degree of suffering that follows from the absence of the desired. The greater the suffering from a lack of the desired, the greater the desire for that object. It is said, the Creator desires to dwell in lowly creations. Our goal in life, as well as the purpose of creation, is to create in ourselves the right conditions for divine dwelling. Idol worship, avodazara, is the adherence to the egoistic desires of the body. In contrast, the spiritual work, avodat Hashem, avodat HaKodesh, follows from the adherence to the altruistic desires or goals, if the desires do not exist yet. Spiritual attachment results when the qualities of two spiritual objects are completely similar. Spiritual love is the feeling of sensing the complete attachment of two opposite qualities, a human being and the Creator. If the human being does not have the desire to regain the power and to return to the rule of his desires, then that human being attained true love of the Creator rather than a mere subordination to him. The congruence of qualities implies that just as the Creator experiences joy from a positive influence on his creations, so a human being experiences joy from the fact that he can give something back to the Creator. The return, tshuva, implies the return of the person in the course of his life in this world, to the spiritual state at which he existed at the time that his soul was created, that is, to the state of the first Adam prior to his fall. There are two sources of action in a person, two beginnings, the intellect and the heart, the thought and the desire. Both should undergo the transformation of their egoistic foundation into the altruistic one. All our pleasures are experienced through the heart. Therefore, if a person is able to refuse any pleasure, which is for his own sake, then he deserves to receive the real pleasure from above, because he no longer uses his egoism. On the other hand, the intellect does not receive pleasure from the understanding of what it's doing. If a person is capable of engaging in a particular action because of his faith, rather than because of his own understanding, if he can proceed contrary to the arguments of reason, and to go above the reason, irrespective of the fact that the intellect suggests a different course of action, then it means that he's eliminated egoism in the mind. Therefore, he can now proceed in accordance with the Creator's reason, rather than in accordance with his own understanding. The light of the Creator permeates all creations, including our world, even though it is not in any way felt by us. This light is called the light that invigorates the creation. It is due to this light that the creations and the world exist. Without it, all life would cease, and the material dimensions of the world would disappear. This life-giving light displays its effect in various material garbs of objects and in different phenomena of our world that take place in front of our eyes. Everything that surrounds us, including both ourselves and the crudest of creations, is nothing else but the light of the Creator. It is perceived by us as many objects since we respond to the outer shells, to the garb of the light. In actuality, it is the one and only force that acts within each one of the creations, the light of the Creator. The majority of people do not perceive the light of the Creator, but only the external garb. There are people that perceive the light of the Creator, but only in the Kabbalah. But there are those people that see the light of the Creator in everything that surrounds them. These latter people perceive that everything around is divine light, which emanates from the Creator and fills everything within itself. The Creator decided to place a human being in this world so that the human being would rise spiritually from the depth of his original state to the level of the Creator, and thus become like the Creator. For this reason, the Creator created the quality of egoism, the desire to receive pleasure. In the beginning of creation, the light, or pleasure, filled the entire created expanse, egoism. The light filled completely all kinds of desires to receive pleasure that were created as part of the conceived egoism. Then, the Creator caused a restriction of the progression of light and concealed it. In place of the light, which exists in creation, in the desire to receive pleasure, and in egoism, there came pain, emptiness, darkness, sorrow, and everything else imaginable in the condition when pleasure is absent from any object. In order to maintain in a person a minimal desire to live and to prevent him from committing suicide from lack of pleasure, the Creator endowed him with a desire to be gratified with a small portion of light, ner dadik, which is enclosed in different objects of our world to which we aspire. Therefore, subconsciously and automatically, we persist in the constant pursuit of the light of the Creator. We are the slaves of this natural aspiration. An individual must believe that the concealment of the Creator and the feeling of hopelessness that results from the lack of pleasure are purposely given by the Creator for his benefit. If the light of the Creator fills his egoism, he will lose the opportunity to exercise his free will. The individual will no longer be able to act freely and independently, but will become a slave to the pleasure that fills him. Only when the person is separated from the light of the Creator, if he experiences his concealment, will he perceive himself as entirely independent, self-sufficient being, and thus be able to make decisions with regard to his actions. But even this kind of independence demonstrates itself only in certain circumstances, because despite the fact that the Creator concealed himself from us, egoism is still present, and it directs all of our thoughts and feelings. Therefore, true freedom will arise only when, 1, an individual does not experience the bestowal of the Creator, 2, an individual can act independently from the desires of his body. An opportunity to exercise our free will exists only in the earthly life, which is precisely the reason why we exist here. An individual must believe that there is nothing else in the world but the Creator. A person perceives in his eye a certain degree of independence only because the Creator endowed our perception with egoism. However, if we were to rid ourselves of this quality, we would once again become part of the Creator. An individual must believe that the concealment of the Creator is experienced only in his perception, and that it was designed only for his benefit. Thus, until the time when a person becomes ready to face the truth, he must believe the truth is very different from the way it is perceived by him. The truth can only be grasped gradually and only to the degree that a person has been able to attain perfection in his qualities. Hence, any spiritual work of a person is possible only as long as the pleasure of the spiritual realm is concealed from him. Only then will a person be able to say that the loathing that he experiences for the spiritual is purposely sent by the Creator. But in fact, there's nothing more perfect than the spiritual. If contrary to the feelings of gloom, depression, and emptiness, and contrary to the arguments of reason, a person can engage in the search for the perception of the Creator, can proceed above his own reason in accordance with the principle of faith above reason, then the Creator will reveal himself to that person, since in all states of being, that person awaits that revelation. A true desire to perceive the Creator is born in an individual in the manner described above, and this constitutes a necessary condition for the revelation of the Creator. The power of faith in the ability to perceive the Creator is measured by the depth of a person's spiritual fall from which a person can call out to the Creator. However, a person must understand that if he's not properly prepared to perceive the Creator, then that person will unwillingly gain egoistic pleasure from experiencing such unworldly phenomenon. Thus, the person must ask the Creator, 1, to prepare him for the experience of higher pleasure, and 2, to provide the necessary strength in order to retain his faith above reason even after the revelation of the Creator. There are two kinds of obstacles deriving from the impure forces, which are called klipot, that operate in us. Restraint, ahazat klipot, and drawing nourishment, yanikat klipot. When a person experiences no pleasure in learning and in improving himself, and advances forward with great difficulty, then the klipa demonstrates various shortcomings of the spiritual existence to that person. As a result, the person feels that there is no value in the spiritual. Thus, the klipa gets an opportunity to hold a person back from studies, since that person sees no greatness in the spiritual. Such a state is known as the revelation of the Creator in ashes, or Shechinta Ba'afra. But if, with the power of the will, a person persists in advancing forward, then that person begins to receive the taste of working on oneself. At that point, the klipa begins to feed off the person's spiritual accomplishments. Thus, the klipa wants to appropriate everything that the person has earned as a result of his efforts, the pleasure from the spiritual. The klipa achieves this goal by instilling in a person a desire to continue to work, but the motivation of his work is personal pleasure, rather than the fact that the work is desired by the Creator. If a person acquiesces to this tendency, then the entire pleasure is surrendered to his egoism. This is known as the drawing nourishment of the klipot. In such a case, an individual must ask the Creator for help in withstanding the temptation of harmful thoughts. At first, an individual must ask the Creator to provide pleasure from the Kabbalah, and then he must implore the Creator that this pleasure should not be absorbed by his egoism. The protestations of the body against the spiritual work, which brings no pleasure to the body, and which gives no assurance that a reward will follow in the future, is known as a mean tongue. In order to escape the temptation, a person must pretend to be blind and deaf to the call of the body, as well as to imagine that there is the upper light, but now it is invisible to him. Only then will the Creator open that person's eyes and ears so that the person would be able to see and hear the light of the Creator and be able to hear what the Creator is telling only him. The effort that a person allots to every task of perceiving the spiritual gradually accumulate to the extent that their quantity is sufficient for the formation of the vessel or the kli or the garment that are needed to achieve the light of the Creator, the soul of the person.